You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Thursday, so you know what that means. It is time for the Michigan Mailbag on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we've got some double questions, but you know what? We'll just try to find different ways around it. Not a ton of questions, so it's not going to be the 40-minute ordeal unless I just talk a lot. I don't think I'm going to. I've been writing all day long, so I'm probably not going to. But let's go ahead and get into it, starting with our leaders and best, starting with James Crudup's. At James Crudup 6, if you were Juwan Howard, how would you approach the roster this offseason? Safe to assume kids will reach out interested in joining the program who are in the portal, talking to current a guy into returning and an incoming freshman class. Seems like a quality problem to have. Question number 2, at what point do we all band together and force Gonzaga to join a real conference? It hasn't seemed to matter for Gonzaga, right? Like, if they lose to UCLA, then yeah, maybe it's like, hey, Gonzaga, Pac-12's right over there for you. That's not going to happen. They don't have... Problem is, Gonzaga football, is that even a thing? Basketball, conferences. Well, I guess basketball does have, like, Notre Dame's in the ACC. They're not independent, but, I mean, for the most part, the conferences are, you know, the same, both football, basketball. So, as far as Juwan Howard, I mean, it seems like he's kind of giving precedence to anyone who's already around. So here's what I would guess. It's a free year. We're going to get into plenty of this. These are the questions that basketball's taken up the majority of the questions this time around. But I would assume it's like, hey, you were on the team and you want to come back, spot is yours. He's been lobbying for Livers to come back, and he lobbied in general. Like, when he won the AP Coach of the Year award today, in his press conference, asked about the seniors, the first thing he said, like, hey, y'all can come back, by the way. So I'd have a guess. Just about everyone would be welcome back. Problem is scholarship money, I think, you know, and no income would probably be the biggest thing. But at the same time, basketball, I mean, if basketball has 26 players compared to 17, I don't think that is the giant difference. Plus, I don't think football is, I mean, I'm sure they're up to their 85 scholarships. But at the same time, I don't, like, they've had some attrition that they haven't necessarily filled on the football team, so you can kind of win some, lose some on that light. So if I was him, I would see who's coming back, then I would attack the transfer portal, and you've already got the incoming freshman class. But, like, you don't really need to attack the transfer portal if, like, let's just say hypothetically, and y'all can go to Wolverine's Wire, you can see what I think of who may or may not be coming back. Let's just say, hypothetically, every single one of them's like, you know what? Let's do it again. I think you're fine with that. And you just say, all right, let's do it again. But, I mean, if that happened, I'm sure you'd see some transfers. People who want to start, people who want more playing time. That's just the nature of it. You're going to have people leaving one way or another. And then you can fill those with transfers if you have some room, is how I would look at it. Josh Barajadicki asked something somewhat similar. I know everyone can come back due to the COVID waiver, but how is that working with scholarships for next season? We have 6 kids signed in basketball class, and at some point we might be too deep, or are there going to be some firm handshakes? I think it doesn't become a problem until next year. So anyone you want to come back, hey, everyone, you can come back. Next year, then you might have to do some firm handshakes. But right now, more the merrier. And we've seen that Michigan basketball can handle its rotation issues. So, that's a good thing. Writer for Wolverines Wire, Trent Noop at Trent Noop. Who takes Giles' spot in the fall? And I know I got another question about that, but I'll just... because it's one of those things where it's like, you kind of look at Mike Sainer still, but it's like, well, those two did different things. I don't think anyone's going to take all of Giles' spots as one person. As far as, like, kick, punt, return, all, you know, and wide receiver. Giles wasn't exactly being utilized a ton at wide out. I mean, he was being utilized, but it wasn't like he was, like, the main go-to either. So, I mean, it's just going to be the guys that are already there that we've already seen. Sainer still, Roman Wilson, AJ Henning will probably get a lot more time, which I think we should all be in favor of. And then, you know, some of the, I think Xavier Worthy, here's the thing. It's funny because it's like he's got all this speed, but he's more diminutive in stature. And then you're bringing in guys that have similar speed, but they're taller. And that was the case for Roman Wilson, for instance. 6 foot, fastest guy on the team, probably. So I think it'll be fine. If there's a position group where you lose a guy right now, with the guys you got coming in, and the fact that you didn't lose your 6'4 guy and Cornelius Johnson, I think you're fine. So Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1 with 3 to finish us out in segment 1. My brother in metal did not comment. Where you at, Michael Wolf? What do you expect to be better this year? Offensive line or defensive line? I'll say this. I think that offensive line has the lowest floor or the highest floor. And I think defensive line has the highest ceiling. I don't know which one I would actually pick. But I think, like, they've got some dudes on the defensive line. And I think, like, some of the guys who haven't necessarily really stood out yet, Donovan Jeter, Mozzie Smith, I'll even maybe throw Chris Hinton in there. We need to see him really be a five-star. I think that those guys can really take a big step forward. Not saying they will, but, I mean, I think that they have – you've got the most talented player probably on the team in Aiden Hutchinson in that position group. You've got – other guys, Braden McGregor, who we forget about, Gabe Newberg, who people are excited about, Taylor Upshaw. There's a ton of guys that I think can really push that group to being back to elite status. Offensive line, I think, is just super solid. I don't expect it to be very bad whatsoever. I think it will be good. But how good? When I say I think it will be good, I think it will at least be better than the early Harbaugh era, 15-16. I think it will be at least that good. So I think it's got a really high floor. Number 2, in order for this to be a successful year in your eyes, which position group must perform the best? It's easy. It's quarterback. 2nd, behind quarterback, linebackers. Linebackers, in order for the defense to rebound, the linebacking core has to be significantly better than it was last year. Because it was kind of a debacle. And I think the linebacking... if you have good linebackers, it can make up for a lot of stuff in the front and the back. It's one of those things Steve Lorenz had mentioned to me at one point, which I kind of hadn't thought about. He's like, one of those things that you always kind of notice about the best teams in college football. They always have a bunch of returning linebackers and that are really, really good. What do we think about with Michigan's defense being super top-notch? Yeah, you think, you know, a lot of times we think, yeah, the defensive line, we think the corners, but who's the one person you think of more than anybody? 2017 and 2018 in particular, Devin Bush. Having really good linebackers makes your life a whole lot easier. Heck, 2015, the defensive line was really good, defensive backs were really good, but the linebacking core was solid. Not spectacular, but it was solid. So that's what they need. Number 3, where would I get the best wings in Ann Arbor from? Not much of a wings guy. I get it from, I think it's called Ann Arbor Wing Company when I do order wings. I think Mr. Spots has wings, and that's a place that people swear by. I've never had their wings. So I would say go to Mr. Spots, but after that, Ann Arbor Wing Company, I think, is the name of it. I order it from, problem is I order from DoorDash, so I just go back and I'm like, what did I order last time? And I just click, like, redo. But that would be where I would go. All right, let us move it along. And then we will get back to more of your questions. But first, before we do, got to talk a little bit about rockauto.com. Listen, chain stores, they have different price tiers for professional mechanics and for do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. For everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, the same as professionals and do-it-yourselfers, so why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. Every time I do that Rock Auto ad, I always feel like I read the same part twice. Maybe I have. I don't know. Always feels like I did. Anyway. Jim at Jim in the North with three. Do you think the trips will resume post-COVID? I loved those. I think international travel is great and a huge opportunity and an eye-opener for young people. Honestly, I don't. I think that now, you know, especially with the... I know they were not funded by the athletic department. But I think with the athletic department being in the red rather than the black, I think, you know, the optics of the team going somewhere until that's all back and the fact that it hadn't happened in a couple of years. No, I don't think I think that's done. And I think it's one of those things that people, they get too much flack for it. I agree. I think it's great. But I think they get too much flack for it because they haven't been winning things. You know, the first trip to Rome happens and they go, you know, whatever they went in 2017. You know, trip to Paris happens. 2018 looks better, but, you know, at first, and then it falls off the rails. So I think it's one of those things where optically it's not as good of an idea as it was before. After Don Brown's OSU signals thing, will Michigan do more to have signal security? I mean, absolutely, because I just think that they're going to have people who actually disguise the calls like a modern defense. I don't think Mike McDonald is coming from the NFL and is like, all right, we're just going to do what we're going to do. Dare you stop it. Let's go ahead and tell you what it's going to be. That said, teams are still going to try to steal the signals. It's just going to be harder for them to do it. Final one from Jim. I'm on vacation in the South and sweating my butt off. How the hell can recruits think 95 and 100% humidity in August is better than mild Ann Arbor? I mean, a lot of guys grow up in it, right? Because you're trying to get a lot of guys out of those states that already have that type of weather. Texas, like I was talking to one of my best friends, Davis, the other day, or last night rather, and he's like, "We're sharing the weather." He moved to Austin from Michigan about a year and a half ago, and I'm like telling him about how great the Michigan weather's been in the month of March. I'm like, it has been basically May. If nothing else, late April for all of March. And he's like, yeah, it's been pretty close to it here, but next week we've got 91, 92, and they're in April. Michigan's trying to get guys from those regions, Texas, Florida, Georgia. So it's one of those things that's what those guys are used to. Zach Van Lente at Lente Zach. This Elite Eight game reminded me a lot of football in 2017. Multiple opportunities to win, but inability to execute. Thoughts? I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. I think if they hit one basket anytime from minute five to minute one, aka before UCLA went up by two, I think that they would have won the game. Any basket. One. And they just couldn't do it. With that in mind, what are your two favorite victories and two worst losses of the Harbaugh era? One guess in each category. Notre Dame 2019, Ohio State 2018. All right. This is off the cuff. I saw the question beforehand, but I didn't think about it. OSU 2018 is definitely among the worst losses because Michigan was not even competitive. I will throw MSU 2020 in there because that they had no business losing that game. It was very similar. So many opportunities to get into that game, and they just refused to. So I would say that would be the other one. You're losing to a team, getting manhandled in the trenches by a team you have no business doing that to either time. Almost cost you a recruit in Rashawn Benny. Almost. But it didn't. As far as favorite wins, no, I don't think 2019 Notre Dame, that might be close to being my top two wins. But let me really think about it. It's I feel like one of those shutouts in 2015 has got to be up there, like the Northwestern one in particular, but maybe not. I think the Florida 2015, or I guess technically January 1st, 2016, has got to be one of the two because they just leveled them. So that was fun. 2016, it's got to be something in 2016, though, like something in from that season in general. Penn State 2016. I'll say that. Even because that was, and like, that's a retrospect thing because at the time it was like, well, of course, they beat Penn State like that. But at the same time, at that time, I was walking up the tunnel before the game and Penn State was coming down. And I was like, oh, here's their specialist. Oh, they're so tiny. Oh, they're all still so tiny. Oh, they're all, oh, this is the team. I was like, Michigan's going to wipe the floor with them. Absolutely wipe the floor with them. And they did. I don't know. It's, I think, I mean, you could put 2019 Notre Dame in there, but I don't, that one's hard for me because, I had just got a new camera and lens, the lens I got to use for 1 week. And I feel like they haven't, even though I had them covered in protective stuff, and these were really like, I bought the lens new and it was a $3,200 lens. I feel like it hasn't worked as good or looked as good since that first day. And I had it nice and covered with rain gear, but it was just raining so hard for so long. It's hard for me to like that game from a financial standpoint, creative standpoint. Zach Woodruff at Zach Woodruff 3. This is a question that we're going to get. So I'm going to punt on the first question. Actually, I'm sad to say it. I'm pretty much going to punt on both your questions. Now, I'll come back to your first one later, but your first one is starting five prediction for next year's Final Four team and key bench players. We'll get to that in the third segment when we get to that question again, because we got that question again a couple times. How do you see Victor's weekend playing out with COVID restrictions? Dude, I have no idea. I know you're talking recruiting and these guys coming to campus. I have no idea, and I haven't really talked to anybody for a while, so I couldn't tell you. I haven't been doing any recruiting, anything. I've been mired in basketball and a little bit of spring football, so and pro day last week. So I have no idea, to be honest. One man trying to do a lot, and I have not had my – I've not been doing any recruiting stuff, so I'm sorry to punt on that. I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend that and just start making stuff up to make it sound like I do. Jacob Chavaria at Jacob1721-3950. Not trying to armchair quarterback, but wouldn't a drive to the rim with either a scored layup, get fouled, and tie on free throws, score, get fouled, and win on free throws make more sense than shooting a low percentage three? Dude, I'm right there with you. I said it at the time. I said it on the podcast yesterday. I said it on SiriusXM. I actually said, like, this feels like armchair quarterbacking, but, I mean, that's what I would have done. High percentage shot. Give you an opportunity. If you don't hit the shot, you're at least going to the line. That's what I would have done, whether it be going to Hunter underneath or Mike Smith driving the lane instead of stopping and hitting that three. I know there's a chance that he gets an offensive foul there. I'll take that opportunity. I'll take it every time. Jonathan Joseph at JJ, or I always do that, at J Joseph 2156. Position you're most excited to see in the fall because it could be a night and day difference from last year besides quarterback. Defensive line. I mean, I know we talked about that earlier. Defensive line, because I just think it's going to look a lot better. I really do. I think that they've got some dudes up front. I don't think there's, like, yeah, you lose Quiddy Pay, likely early first round pick, but I don't think you lose a lot. I mean, I think you lose a lot from him, but I think you've got guys that are ready to step up, right? Next man up. That would be the thing. I'm kind of excited to see what corner looks like, too, because I thought that the guys came along from last year as the year progressed, and I still think you've got some really good guys in DJ Turner and Jalen Perry, not to mention Donovan Green-Warren and Andre Seldon. I think you've got a lot of options there. My third one I'm going to mention is wide receiver, because I just think that a lot of those guys were inexperienced, and now I think that they're going to be a lot. I just think it's going to take a big step forward, really, early, earnestly. So with that in mind, KRT at Farmark 84, which wide receiver takes the biggest step forward this year with Giles gone, Henning, Roman, or Samer still? That's a really difficult question because I think Henning will start to shine, but I don't know that he'll necessarily be the guy who's everyone's eyes are on. I think Sainra still has a similar skill set, if not the same skill set as Giles. So I really wouldn't be surprised if he really, because he just seems like he's in his head. Because it seems like every time, like I told you last year, I saw him while walking over the bridge. I saw him make an incredible play during practice, during fall camp. And I was like, all right, let's go. But then when it comes to in games, he doesn't make those plays. And we've heard about like his what he does in practice for since he arrived, and we haven't seen it. I mean, we saw it in practice, in the open practice in 2019. He was out there making plays. Him and Eric Aull doing all the stuff that we heard about. But when it comes to games, they weren't doing it. So it's at one point, I feel like it's going to translate. With that said, I'm going with Roman Wilson. Like, he is just, he's got pure speed mismatch. I think that he is going to be a guy that just takes a giant step forward this year. And I think, especially if you're getting some other guys out on the field, I don't know if they'll be ready or not, but like, let's just say hypothetically, you have Ronnie Bell out there. Let's say they're in a three set. You have Ronnie, Roman, and let's just say you have Xavier Worthy. Good luck. I know I've said that before about running backs. I've said that before about wide receivers. Hasn't come to fruition. At some point it will. They have enough talent for that to be the case. Brandon, at Brandon S616, finishing us out with two. It's a sample, in segment two, that is. It's a small sample size, but you think Juwan's end of game play calling is suspect. That's two games this year where they settled for a three when a two would have tied/won. Do you see Johns Jr. being a starter and a main piece of the team next year, your favorite moment from the basketball season? Also, do you think Austin Davis takes advantage of the COVID year, and would you want him to? Working backwards, Austin Davis, I predicted in a piece that I wrote today that I think he will, and I do want him to. And then I would imagine, because I don't think, like, barring something spectacular happening, I don't see him being an NBA guy. And if he's still a backup to Hunter Dickinson, who I also think will probably be back, because I still think he needs a little bit of refinement. That doesn't mean that he will be gone or not, but I just, or stay or whatever. But I think I can imagine Hunter's going to want one more year before he goes, because he'll make a lot more money that way. It's hard to get what you're looking for, G League, NBA draft, or overseas if you're not a starter. So I think that Austin Davis will, I would not be surprised, and this is just me speculating, will take another year, and then after that he'll go into coaching, because I think that he has got that written all over him. As far as my favorite moment from the basketball season, I think it was the win over Ohio State, followed by both of the wins over Wisconsin. Probably because of my little fun rivalry with Asher Lowe from Lockdown Badgers and Badgers Wire. Do I see Johns being a starter and a main piece of the team next year? If Isaiah Livers doesn't return, which I don't anticipate he would, yes, I think he will be. And I think he I really liked what I saw from him. I felt like he was coming on strong late. I thought he did a really good job. Looked like a deer in headlights at times this year, which was kind of surprising being his third season. And then I think that by the time that he was in the tournament, like, I wanted to see more of him, to be honest. As far as Juwan's end of game play calling, listen, it's not what I would have called. But at the same time, like, I think that he's done enough to where you feel good about everything that they're doing. If those go in, I think they got good looks. Any of those looks go in, Ohio State game, Big Ten tournament, or UCLA, we're talking about Michigan with a walk-off. Buzzer beater. Just didn't happen that way. All right. Getting the hiccups for some reason. But we were going to continue here. BetOnline.ag. That is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Listen, football might be over. NBA, you got the Final Four. NHL, they're all in full swing. Major League Baseball is officially going. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, with real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. The best way to place your bets. And guess what? It is free to sign up. Head over to betonline.ag to sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Also want to talk to you about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know what it is and you haven't been listening to the show, well, let me tell you a little bit about it. It is a candy bar. Not a candy bar. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. They are delicious. Guess what, though? High protein, low calorie, low carb. I can't help but eat two at a time. And guess what? I'm still under what a candy bar would have caloric-wise, carb-wise, all of that stuff. So many delicious flavors. I put my money where my mouth is. I've bought so many boxes of Built Bar. But like, I love the almond coconut. I love the cookies and cream. I love the white chocolate raspberry cheesecake. There's so many great flavors that are available. To get those, go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15 for 15% off of your next order. All right, let's continue. We only have three left here. Mr. Grumpy Gills at @fourthquarter_ent_ is Michigan officially a basketball school? No, still not. Right now, people are excited about basketball. And let me tell you, in about 3 weeks, no one will care. Now, I think that it will uptick. I think that more people will be into it than they were before, just based off of the potential, what Juwan's done in year two. I think the excitement is going to feel a lot like 2013 or 2014. And I think that that'll continue until they have a season where they don't make the tournament. It'll be just like John Beilein, where it's like everyone loves basketball. Chrysler, when people are allowed back, will sell out every game. It will be an experience, and then they'll have a bad season, and then everyone will wait until it gets to be back to where it is again. Just how it works. But no, football's still king, believe it or not. It's weird that people keep on thinking that some bad years in football or mediocre years or just like average years, because I mean 3-10-3 seasons in the 6 years. I mean, Jim Harbaugh has the third best record in the Big Ten, and it's something like it's in like the top 15 nationally. No, I think that Michigan's still a football school. All right, Josh Arnold at Guy Civics asking the same question as my guy Zach Woodruff here. Starting five for basketball 2021. Now, here's the easy answer. I have no idea because I have no idea who's coming back or not. But based off of my projections, which is pure speculation, no, again, I have zero basketball inside info, I would go like this. Zeb Jackson starting point guard. Then I'll go, let's see, let's go Eli Brooks, starting shooting guard. I think that you've got Shondi Brown as kind of your flex three-ish type, Brandon Johns, and Hunter Dickinson. As far as big-time bench players, Terrence Williams, and not really sure yet as far as who like from this other group. I think Musa Diabate and Caleb Houston will get involved quickly. And I think Austin Davis will be back and he'll be a big part of it as well. That is my guess. Full on guess. That in mind, Tyler Manning at Nats Packers Cena. Out of Dickinson, Brooks, Smith, Wagner, Livers, who returns? I projected Dickinson. I projected Brooks. And that's who I projected. I think it's open for any of them. Wagner, I've seen some first-round mocks where he goes 11th or 13th and whatever, so I think he's as good as gone. Livers, I haven't seen that. I could see Livers being like, you know what, unfinished business. Brooks, I think, really started to come on. I don't think the NBA is going to be calling just yet. I don't think he had those Duncan Robinson-type moments quite. I feel like he was like mid to late season 2017 Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman. Like, it was just starting to turn on for him, and it just didn't quite get there yet. Like, I think if he would have had those two more games, I have no doubt that one of those games would have been like, that was the Eli Brooks game. Would have really liked to see him get that last shot. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with something. We're going to get in some emails from the mothership saying, like, hey, no more taking days off. So even if I'm busy, I'm going to try to squeeze in a quick 20, which I feel like is a jip, but whatever. All right, thank you for listening to me. To me ramble like I always do. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.